Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air
and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast, Hour 3. Wow, I'll tell you what, if you were listening to Hour 1 and Hour 2, you heard Brandon Martin in Arizona. You heard Kurt Schilling, who I just spent 2 days with. Just got back. Now we go to Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome to the program. I'm just gonna roll right along with you. The program has been rolling today. Thanks for joining me. Lots to talk about. I'm gonna say to you, where do you want to start, man? I could go a million different directions with you. Go ahead and start it off.
Well, that's just it. It really is a busy time. It's great to be back on the show again, Mark. We've had a lot to talk about. I think one of the most important things that's come up for me in the last week is how we talk about gun rights and how we deal with the constant conversation we're dealing with right now in the aftermath of the tragic killings in El Paso and in Dayton, how we deal with this wave of anti-gun or pro-gun control rhetoric, right? How do we actually do grassroots advocacy in a dialogue with people and kind of getting away from some of the talking points, talking about which talking points are legitimate, which ones are myths? I think these things are incredibly important for the firearms community right now.
All right. Based on that, and you're right, it's been a mess this week. I know how much media you did over the previous week. I know how much I did. I know how much Mr. Gottlieb did. And I know how much I wasn't even able to get to because I did so much. And I know you felt the same way. You did a CBS Evening News piece. And I was fortunate enough to see the entire 6 minutes that didn't make it on. But nonetheless, I want you to talk a little bit about that, because what you're talking about now is exactly what you did during your interview on CBS News. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is important that we are able to do as much as we possibly can. Those of us who have, put ourselves in a position to get some of that national bandwidth, right? I know that you've spoken to some other national news outlets. Obviously, you have one right here, your own platform that you graciously share with me from time to time. But, the average person does it. The average person is talking to somebody in the stands at their kid's baseball or soccer game. They're talking to their coworkers. They're talking at the coffee shop. And I think that's a really incredibly important place that we need to keep focused on. So people can take the talking points that we share, right, when we're on CNN or CBS Evening News. But at the end of the day, what I see is a lot of people, and I actually conducted a couple of kind of informal polls in some of the discussion groups this week in the firearms community online to see where people go. What are their go-to arguments when they are approached by someone who's pro-gun control, or if they choose to go out and be more proactive and become a grassroots advocate for gun rights? What are they saying? What are they meeting with in terms of resistance? How effective are they being? And what I want to do, and this is obviously a big part of what we do at Second Amendment Organization, is really provide a template or some talking points to help people be compelling when they have these discussions with their peers, with everyday people.
What you just described is literally the heartbeat and the soul of the country when it comes to gun rights. And the water cooler conversation maybe is what you were talking about.
Exactly.
The dinner time conversation that we have. I understand it's not lost on me because I get a lot of email, and I know you know this. It's very important that we talk about these things in a way that others can understand it. Now, they're not going to get as, I wouldn't recommend anybody get as animated as I do when you're having a conversation, because I'm talking to you who understands what I'm talking about. My passions come out. But when you see me on television or when you hear me on others' radio shows, I'm very calm and cool and collected. It's remarkable to me, actually, and to those who know me, that I am able to do that. But it's important. I think that's great advice across the board, that we remain calm and cool because the facts are on our side. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the pitfalls, right, is that we hear our echo chamber effect, right? When we know that you and I right now, we're talking to what we would consider a very friendly audience. We're always aware that, someone could be listening, someone might be influenced, someone could share this with someone who's pro-gun control, anti-gun agenda. Media outlets might farm this, try to quote us out of context or something. But at the end of the day, we're in a very safe space here. And certainly on the internet, most people end up in their safe spaces. And what that means is when you jump into the comment section, I see this a lot, like it's not worth trying to talk to them, quote unquote. And then I'll follow up and I'll say, well, why do you say that? Because I know a lot of gun owners who've talked about having very positive experiences bringing somebody to the range mm-hmm. for the first time or talking to them about responsible gun ownership or things like that. And yet you're telling me it's not worth it. Well, I went to the, Every Town for America Gun Safety Moms Demand Action.com page, and they just criticized me and ganged up on me. Well, yeah, you're walking into their safe space and you're saying shall not be infringed. That's not going to work. You know, and in fact, shall not be infringed is something I've talked about and written about a lot. It has to be the bottom line and background and maybe the final statement of any conversation about gun rights in the U.S., but it can't be your only statement. You know, if you're in the coffee shop saying, hey, man, shall not be infringed, it isn't compelling. It isn't an argument that resonates with anyone who isn't already on our side. So that's one of the things I think people should really think about is what argument are you using? Is it an argument that we all get, or is it something that other people will find compelling and at least interesting enough to have a conversation with you?
Yeah, this is an important conversation, listener, because each and every one of you have had this conversation with someone in your life, whether it be a work colleague, whether it be a family member, whether it be a spouse, a sibling, whatever it is, we've had these disagreements. And Rob, you're right on the money. You can't simply look at somebody and say, because it's my right, and end the conversation. Not to someone who is willing to have an intellectually honest conversation with you. Now, I will give you some great advice. And Rob, I want your opinion on this as well. If you're talking to someone who is intellectually dishonest, who is not going to change their mind and feels as passionate as you do about the subject politically, you're probably not going to make much headway. Is that a safe statement?
I think it's fair. I think, unfortunately, sometimes at the beginning, it's hard to tell whether someone is being intellectually dishonest or if they're just ignorant. And if they're just repeating sort of the talking points that they've heard, maybe in some of the big mainstream media or things that they've, you know, things that they feel, just their gut feeling is, well, gee, I'm 37 years old. I don't need a gun. I haven't had a gun. If I brought a gun into my house, it might be used against me or a tragedy might befall one of my family members, accidents, negligence. I'm not really educated in this space. So I just don't think it's a good idea. A lot of people approach that from that perspective very sincerely. And it's a very reasonable perspective to have if they've had the lack of understanding exposure to what responsible firearms ownership is like. And that's why we need to be advocates. And I think we need to go into any conversation with a little bit of benefit of the doubt and with a little bit of seeking to understand how that person has reached that conclusion so that we can have some compelling dialogue with them and maybe change their minds and educate them, as opposed to thinking, well, gee, if you feel that way, then I'm going to write you off.
You know, great. A couple good things I want to mention before we go to the top of the break, or before we go to the break here, I'll get my words out. I've got a bunch of different screens up, so many directions I want to go with you, not the least of which is the National Rifle Association. I noticed that CNN closed out their column on the National Rifle Association with my quotes. So we'll go to that in just a moment here. But Rob, two key takeaways from that. Number one, you said hard to be to determine whether they're ignorant or intellectually dishonest. And you're right. Sometimes that doesn't manifest itself until well into the conversation. And that can be very, very frustrating when you find out. Ignorance can be corrected. Intellectual dishonesty cannot. My suggestion is if that person is being dishonest, you're never going to change their mind. Save your argument for a better day. Live to fight somewhere else. That much I'll give you. If it's ignorance, attempt to work through that ignorance by utilizing some facts, but start small. Not big. If you try to start big, you're just going to blow the conversation. All right, Rob, the National Rifle Association, I'm going to go in this direction with you, but I'm going to save it for the break. I don't have enough time to go into it now. So let me close out this section with a question for you in this regard. Do you start at the top of a conversation with somebody who might not like what we have to say by getting negative? By trying to prove that person wrong right out of the box is what I'm trying to say. How do you start that conversation if you know you can have it?
I think you need to find the common ground. And that common ground may be individual liberties. The common ground may be personal responsibility. The common ground may be the universal right to self-preservation and self-defense. I have always found that anyone who's willing to have the conversation will do much better if you find that common space where you can agree upon it. And maybe what you can agree upon is that some firearms owners are irresponsible. Maybe what you can agree upon with them is meet them at the point of, yes, of course, firearms ownership has negative potential outcomes. And what we want to do as responsible firearms owners is mitigate the negative potential outcomes. And let's have that conversation. You may need to yield that very easily, I think, yielded fact that, yes, there are tragedies, there are accidents, there are crimes committed with guns. I'm not denying that. So let's have a conversation about it.
And I think a great way to do that, what I was trying to get out with that question is, understand, show your understanding of why a person who's being honest with you, not that hater, not that intellectually dishonest satellite radio moment word, but a person who's really willing to talk with you and tell them, I understand how you might feel that way. Let me see if I can fix you. When we come back after the break, we'll continue the conversation with Rob Pincus. Don't go away.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Okay, this one all ends on Friday. My friends at the USCCA are giving you 2 free chances to win $1,776 in their 4th of July Freedom Giveaway. That $1,776 gets you a Ruger Mini 14 Tactical Rifle, Otis Cleaning System, a 9-line American flag wooden sign, and ammo. But it all ends this Friday. So here's what I need you to do. Take out your smartphone and text GET to 87222. You can do it in seconds. The official rules are on the page, and you'll instantly get 2 free chances to win $1,776. That's $1,776 just for texting GET to 87222. It's free money. Don't leave it sitting on the table. It's part of a great cause, too. Defending your Second Amendment rights. That's what the USCCA does. They protect responsible gun owners like us. If this is your absolute last chance to get your free Ruger, Otis cleaning system, and 9-line wooden flag, your 2 free chances to win are waiting. Don't waste them. Text GET to 87222 to get entered. Again, that's GET to 87222.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Get a 2-pack of My Pillow premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-9358 and use promo code AAR.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
We'll be right back. Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continues from these Crossbreed Holster Studios. Gunbroker.com. Don't forget to visit gunbroker.com. Also, don't forget to get your copy of Grilling While Armed. Many of you have sent me emails. If you're interested in getting a signed copy, mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org, and I'll show you how to do that. It's really, really simple. But they're in very limited supply that I actually have in consign right now. So act fast. mark@armedamericanradio.org if you want a signed copy. Rob, National Rifle Association, I don't want to spend a lot of time with it, but I was questioned by CNN when I was in Arizona. And earlier today at about 12 o'clock noon Eastern time, the piece came out. I haven't gotten through the whole piece yet, but it was by Michael Warren and Lauren Fox over at CNN. He was a nice enough guy when I spoke with him. Here's the final state. They actually closed out the column with the final statement regarding the NRA, my final statement, talking about the NRA's influence, strength through numbers. Does the NRA still have power? Hell yes, they do, but their power comes from their membership, said one Republican aide on Capitol Hill. But some pro-gun activists who are frustrated with the NRA's leadership echo Republicans on the Hill who say that so far the NRA is missing at a crucial moment for gun rights. The National Rifle Association seems to be impotent right now and not able to play a role that they should be able to play at a time like this, said Mark Walters, nationally syndicated radio host. As longtime members of the gun rights activist movement, it's hard for us to understand. That's how the piece closed out. So I'll get your commentary on that because you've been very vocal about the NRA. Go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, it is. I've also spoken with Mike. He's definitely a professional journalist. He's very interested in these conversations, and he's actually had some great conversations with many of us in the gun world over the past years over other issues. Currently, this issue with the NRA losing efficacy and losing kind of power nationally and with policymakers is incredibly important. But I think the important piece there is how that started out. Obviously, you know, your quote is right to the heart of the matter, but the idea that the power comes from the members and the power comes from the voters, you know, that's really the key. And longtime members of the gun rights activist movement, that's us. That is, we are the gun rights advocacy. We are the gun rights community. We are the leaders of this. 100 million plus of us, 57% of American households quoted in that piece that came out earlier today from CNN, have guns in them. We need to not be relying on any individual spokesperson, whether it's Wayne LaPierre, Mark Walters, or Rob Pinkett. We need to be speaking up for ourselves. And that's why this grassroots advocacy issue is so important to me.
All right, let's use speaking up in what is the shortest segment of this program. And I do apologize for that. I've only got you for two, so let's move quick. Let's use that speaking up to give out some talking points. Let me lead you down that road, because the individual person gets a lot of talking points from us. I know that because we see the emails, and in fact, I share them with you from time to time when we get them, when someone mentions something you said. What are some talking points? How do we start this conversation? Because it's important we let people know we don't call the NRA and ask for their input. I've never done that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We are, as you just said, we are that movement. So how do we get this conversation started? Help us out.
Well, I think what we need to do is let's think about the major points that are brought up and how we, you know, respond to / refute them. In the last segment, we talked about the importance of not being combative, not just coming out of the gate refuting something. Yeah, that's all wrong. We really need to be speaking to the whys or hows certain perceptions are wrong. You know, obviously, everyone's talking about universal background checks right now. I think it's really important to make sure people understand a couple of things. When we talk about universal background checks, what we're talking about is forever restricting private transfers. We're talking about keeping me from being able to gift a gun to my son-in-law or my daughter, or, you know, a trusted friend who has a concealed carry permit. One of my students, and if I live in a state where private transfers are legal, where I think all states should have private transfers that are legal, if I want to be responsible and sell a gun to someone who I know has training, who has a concealed carry permit, they've already gone through a background check or 10 as a gun owner in America, and I want to do that, that should be perfectly legal without involving the government or some other business owner and a fee and the time and effort and energy that that would all take as an incredible inconvenience to a simple act of commerce between two people or an act of gifting between family members. And putting it in that light, I've seen the light bulb go off. I've seen people understand that the quote-unquote gun show loophole is simply a private transfer that happens outside of the purview of a dealer. So how do we address this? Well, for one thing, I've long said the ATF needs to define firearms dealer in a better way. Right now, it's a very vague gray area. I think that a number of transactions per year or per month or some percentage of income that someone reaps from the actual selling of guns or transferring of guns. Something along those lines needs to be established so that you can define who is responsible to do background checks on the people they're transferring guns to. Another thing that's important is the enforcement of the current laws on the books. We need to make sure that the checks that are being done, as long as we have a NICS system, the in-state criminal check system, we need to make sure that it's being used properly, that not only are local agencies, but state-level agencies, the federal government, including the Department of Defense, and we also need to make sure that mental health professionals, along with the courts and legal entities, are reporting into the background check system completely and in a timely manner. That way, the system that exists can be more effective. Ultimately, the last point on background checks is that we need to make sure that there are follow-ups when people fail the background checks. We have, you know, tens of thousands of failed checks every year, but literally less than 100 that I'm aware of prosecuted cases every year historically. So if you look back over the last 10, 20 years, you average over 100,000 failures a year, but we don't have a lot of even investigation, let alone prosecution of the people who fail the background checks. So we've got a real disconnect there. Why put more laws on the books when the laws we have currently aren't even being used, let alone can we talk about whether or not they're being effective? The other thing, you know, the other issues we'll talk about is the assault weapons ban. Well, again, understanding that semi-automatic firearm is a huge array of firearms that are used every day, very peacefully. Tens of millions of them are owned by Americans, probably over 100 million of them, if I had to guess, are owned by Americans. And yet, we're talking about assault weapons. Well, when you get right down to it, the assault weapon definition is eventually going to include every semi-automatic handgun and rifle. And that's just completely unreasonable in the United States. Once we educate people about Ruger 1022s, about semi-automatic shotguns used in competition, and about all the rifles that are used in hunting and competition and recreational use, as well as home defense, patrol officers for law enforcement, and the military uses of semi-automatic rifles. And I think those are just two areas where we can really respond very articulately and in a very educated way to compel people to understand our perspective and not just the rhetoric from the anti-gun agenda.
Well said, Rob Pincus. That was, I'm not going to add much to that except to say this. The terminology, well, the NICS, let me start with the NICS first off. You were talking about the background checks is what I'm referring to, listener, NICS, National Instant Criminal Check System, we refer to as the NICS background check, because you're hearing that, you're being inundated with that on the news. We need stronger background checks. A background check, Rob, as you know, I've often wondered, if someone walks into a gun shop and tries to buy a firearm and passes or fails that background check, that individual generally just walks right out of the store. I don't know that we've ever stopped anybody. I've never seen it done. Have you? Where somebody says, wait a minute, hold on a second. How come law enforcement's not called based on what someone on the other end might know about that person? Do you have an answer for that? I get asked that question a lot.
No, there really isn't. Obviously, what we don't want to do is put the gun shop owner or the gun, you know, counter clerk in a position of a confrontation potentially right. with, you know, a violent felon who is trying to illegally buy a gun for violent purposes. But what we need to do is have local and federal law enforcement involved in a follow-up.
All right, very good. Rob, I'm going to have to end it there. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get to all of my questions for you. That's why I'm just going to leave it alone. Well said. Rob Pincus, where can people find you, Rob? You got 10 seconds.
2AO.org. Lots of grassroots information in our blog. Check it out. 2AO.org.
Thanks for everything you've been doing supporting gun rights. We'll talk to you on this program soon. Back right after this. Don't go away.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and then he's the one arrested. Thanks to our court system, this happens a lot, and that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. But you're not alone. USCCA is here to help. Simply go to usccaonair.com to learn more about the education, training, and legal protection you need to become a responsibly armed American. With their education and training, you'll learn how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, exactly what to say to the police after an incident, and a whole lot more. With their legal protection, you'll get access to over $1 million in civil and criminal defense funds, the USCCA Critical Response Team, and a nationwide network of experienced attorneys. Plus, there's always a special bonus when you join. So head over to usccaonair.com right now to reveal what you can get for free today. It could be a free knife or even the chance to win a brand new gun. Just visit usccaonair.com to find out. Once again, that's usccaonair.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get 4 free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number 1 of the number 4 guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hey there, Mark Walters here. If you're a gun owner like me, or honestly, if you just really like getting free stuff, and you know I do, I talk about it all the time, you should head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. Seriously, there's always something great from the USCCA just waiting for you at armedandresponsible.com. Sometimes it's a free USCCA gun giveaway. Sometimes it's free training, but it's always worth a few seconds to check it out. After all, how often can you just type a few words and get something for free? It only takes a few seconds. Plus, anytime you go to armedandresponsible.com, you're going to find something to help you along your journey as a responsibly armed American. And that's what it's all about. The USCCA is the absolute leader when it comes to providing the education, training, and financial and legal protection gun owners need. Plus, they just love giving away free stuff, and I'm a big fan. Remember, these great free bonuses disappear regularly, so you're going to want to head over right now to see what's there today. You don't want to miss it. Head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. That's armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com. This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by Taser Self Defense. Visit Taser.com to meet your new sidekick. Welcome to the Armed American Radio MonsterCast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. In the essence of time, I'm going to go right over to my next guest, Stephen Gutowski from the Washington Free Beacon. But I know you're at an airport. I know you're getting ready to fly home, and I thank you so much for taking time while you're very busy sitting waiting to catch a plane back to D.C. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I had a good weekend in Georgia, your home state, up in North Georgia near Helen, at the Georgia Carry Convention. I had a great time, so I'm feeling pretty good.
That's a pretty place, isn't it?
Oh, it's gorgeous. We went to Helen for a little while, and we're mostly in the state park up there, but Helen is an interesting place. I mean, you know, a fake German town in the middle of the Georgia mountains.
Because you got that guy in the German garb who all of a sudden looks at you and says, "Can I get you a cold beer?" And you're like, "Wow, that doesn't fit the outfit there, bro." But
right?
The Georgia Carry Convention, quickly, how was the event this year, as I was unable to make it for the second year?
Yeah, everything went really well. It struck me as a group of people who are very knowledgeable and also very friendly. So, I spoke about engaging with media as best as possible and as often as possible. So they were very receptive. I thought it was a good experience.
That's actually outstanding, because Rob Pincus was just on prior to you, and that's part of the focus of our conversation was media reaching out. Well, of course, I've done a lot of media this week, and Rob has done it last week, and Rob had done a lot this past week, and I was just notifying listeners that if you want to read the final, what I just saw at NRA's Wayne LaPierre, what is it? Does the NRA still have the power? Still have power? The pro-gun group is in uncharted territory after latest mass shootings. That from CNN, and I close out that column. They close out that column with my quotes. So it's been a very, very, very long week. And we did talk about that, engaging media and then engaging people, talking points, how to talk about this topic when the media is going so crazy, right? And I know that you've been writing a lot about it, too. One other thing that I quoted, we'll move from that. I'm glad to hear the convention went great. But I've been using your piece in the first hour of the show, and I did in the second hour of the program with Kurt Schilling. I referred to your piece, Biden, most popular rifle in America, only for killing people. What the hell has gotten into Joe Biden besides he's trying to appease the radical left? Joe's always been out there, but I've never heard him like this. Or have I just been missing something? You tell me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems right now in the Democratic field, the push on gun control has moved the party further to the left in the primary, and Joe Biden's moving right along with that. I mean, you heard him at the first debate. He said a fairly radical position of that all guns sales should be banned unless they're smart guns, which at this point are theoretical and there aren't any on sale. So that would mean banning the sale of all firearms currently available in the United States. So he's pretty out there right now on gun policy.
He commented, and you quoted, that it would be, well, your subhead is argues resisting tyrannical government would be futile. I take that as a threat, Stephen. Kurt agreed with me that when you've got a politician telling you that your guns are not going to be able to stop them, that scares me, particularly coming from someone running from office. Or am I just, you know, that gun nut?
Well, I mean, you know, he is running for president. He's not certainly the first Democrat to make this argument, the first gun control advocate to make this argument. That essentially, you know, an AR-15 or like any small arms isn't going to be useful in resisting the federal government because obviously the military is very powerful. I mean, I think this ignores quite a lot of modern history.
Of course it does.
Even our military, which is the greatest in the world, has struggled against insurgencies, and that was in foreign countries where they were fighting with, well, objectively terrible people in the Taliban,
right.
You know, and Al-Qaeda, and they still had plenty of issues going up against relatively meagerly armed insurgencies. So just from a practical standpoint, I don't think this point makes any sense. But additionally, from a philosophical standpoint, like you're approaching it from, I mean, certainly seems un-American to me to say,
right.
You know, the American public has no ability to resist tyranny. You know, that if you're, to me, it's like, well, it's okay. So what's your alternative? Is it just live with it, I guess, would be the answer. If the government were to turn tyrannical, which it obviously isn't at this point, but in some scenario where it were to happen, what is the solution then? Just nothing?
Yeah, Joe's comments from somebody running for president are scary to me. They're a threat to me. Now, this ignores, as Kurt Schilling, we talked about exactly that. In fact, I referenced what you referenced earlier in the program about the Taliban. Tell that to the Taliban, I said, who have been resisting, you know, much bigger, stronger foreign invaders for centuries. And they don't have an air force as long as last I checked. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. Does the Taliban fly air force jets?
No, they do not. No. I mean, Afghanistan, they've resisted two nuclear powers over the last several decades here, fairly successfully, it seems.
They've been holding off the United States, and they held off and did tremendous damage to the Soviet Union, is what Stephen's referring to. So I guess Biden has never talked to anybody that fought the Battle of Hills in Korea. And I've had individuals who fought in Korea tell me that their bases were literally overrun. 100,000 Chinese troops coming over hills, they ran. Their helicopters didn't do them any good. They had to get out of Dodge. But nonetheless, just stupid commentary from Joe Biden. And this, of course, on the heels of Swalwell with that dopey we've got nukes type deal. Biden is treading in some very, very dangerous waters when he makes comments like that. It's very dangerous for a politician.
I don't think they think through these things. Like, so what, like Swallow especially, are you implying that the United States government would use nuclear weapons on American soil against Americans? Like, is that what you're saying?
I would,
like, what do you mean?
I would certainly suggest that that's what he was implying, that if, but he was taking it from an angle that gun owners would somehow attack the government. That's not the way this works. These people are just out there. They just simply don't understand, or they choose not to think through what it is they're saying. I don't know. It's damaging. You know that. I know that. This is really damaging rhetoric to have. But he has made it very clear that, and in his comment, which you referenced in your piece too, to close out your column, bingo. You're right. If you have an assault weapon, when somebody said to him, or as Anderson Cooper said to him, are you going to come for Americans' guns? What do you tell gun owners? And he said, bingo. You're right. If you have an assault weapon. So, you know, he says, we're going to do some type of buyback. My commentary to Joe Biden is, mine's not for sale. You never owned it. I'm not selling it to you. And if you want it, bring a lot of friends, pal. I don't know what else to say to these idiots that make this statement. The Supreme Court, Stephen, is going to have to step in here at some point and put a stop to this. You agree?
You know, potentially if you get to some sort of confiscation program. I mean, now to be fair to Joe Biden, he says he is not for a mandatory buyback, it seems. He's not for trying to take away guns from people who already own them. He's more for bans on the future sale, and then I guess apparently some sort of voluntary buyback on a national level. You know, he hasn't released the details of his. We really just have to go on what his statements have been, and you know, a politician's off the cuff statements often are not the most reliable barometer for exactly what policies they're going to propose. But that's all we have right now.
Especially a guy like Biden, who has been so gaffe prone over his entire career, who has said so many off the chain things over the years. But what this is indicative of is the fact that Joe Biden is now kowtowing, if you will, to the radical fringe far left of the Socialist Party. I don't call them Democrats anymore. I mean, if I do, I slipped and it didn't fit it into the sentence. But there's no question in my mind that the socialists are running the Democrat Party now. And Joe Biden is trying to appease that base. This is a primary. And there are, 1,290 now running for the presidency in the, you know, for the Democrat nomination. Stephen, when we come back from the break, I know you're busy. I've got you for one more segment. That's awesome. Thank you. I want to talk with you about the White House reaching out to a very dear friend of ours, an individual who is probably the single most powerful man in the gun rights movement today, and that's Mr. Alan Gottlieb. And the story that you wrote was, you broke, let me put it this way, you broke it. We'll be back with Stephen Gutowski right after this. Make sure not to go away. We've got one more segment with him. Stephen Gutowski, of course, from the Washington Free Beacon, back after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Unfortunately, in today's day and age, you just can't trust the system. That's why the USCCA stands by their members and their promise of education, training, and protection. Every responsibly armed American needs to get USCCA coverage now before it's too late. Even law-abiding, responsible gun owners are at risk to lose everything in today's world. So don't think it can't happen to you. You've worked hard on what you have. Don't let a rigged system take it all away. Visit USCCA.com to learn more. That's USCCA.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With the simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
Moving on with Stephen Gutowski from the Washington Free Beacon. Another headline. White House asks gun rights leader for input on shooting response. Now, I talked about this one, too, at the beginning of the show in hour one, Stephen. They wanted to address, according to your piece, the problems of violence in our society, and at the same time, protecting Second Amendment rights. Now, I was privy to this story right away because I'm a member of the board of directors of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. So I was aware that conversation was occurring. I was not aware of what had occurred in that conversation. So let me start with you first. What's your initial reaction to the fact that the White House reached out to Mr. Gottlieb, period, at all? What's your initial reaction to that first?
I think it shows that the White House wants the gun rights community involved in this discussion, that they're not trying to necessarily do an end run around gun rights supporters. At least that's the initial indication with this conversation. Now, you've obviously heard plenty of things from the president and from, you know, Senate leadership about potentially passing some form of gun control, any number of proposals. But it does seem, you know, at least from what Alan was saying, he believes that they were genuinely interested in his input, and they were genuinely interested in what Alan believed gun rights supporters would be willing to support and what they would not be willing to support.
What gun rights supporters would be willing to support. That's if someone were to ask me, we're going to have a discussion on gun control, Mr. Walters, but before we do, I have to get your position on what, as a gun rights supporter, I have to know, first of all, what gun control you would support. My response is going to be none. Now, I don't know, and I wasn't privy to the conversation. I know Alan well enough that I could probably make some guesses, but he's not here, and I will not say anything. I won't put any words in his mouth.
true.
We know what you've written in the piece. When you hear that statement, or that question, I should say, or that statement that you know was a question to him, what do you think? Does that indicate anything to you that they're even asking that?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily that they, from the conversation that I had with Alan, it's not necessarily that they were asking, oh, which of these gun control proposals could you support or could you see gun rights for? It's more like, you know, they talk through the different proposals for gun control, you know, universal background checks, assault weapons ban, red flag laws. And then they also talked about what Alan believed would be helpful in, you know, moving forward, you know, the proposals beyond those ones. So things like he had mentioned the security.
Security deficit, he calls it. And I think that's brilliant. I'm glad he's opening up that conversation. It's one that's never been had before.
Yeah. And so, like, it wasn't just from what the way Alan described it, at the very least. And, you know, I reached out to the White House. They haven't responded to me on this. So, but from what Alan said, you know, the conversation was a more full spectrum than just, oh, hey, we're considering passing these gun control bills. What do you think of these particular gun control bills? It was broader than that.
Okay,
sure.
So it was an open, frank conversation without saying, Alan, we're going to move forward with background checks and we're going to move forward with this. What do you think about that? How can you get your group to suck it up? So that's
right.
Okay, so you're confident that that didn't occur, right?
From what Alan was saying, yeah, that is not the way that he described it. He described it as more of a, you know, seeking his input on those issues, you know, those proposals, but also on what he believes would be a better solution.
Okay, and from what the exchange that I had with him too, so that solidifies that. I'm confident telling you, listener, that the White House did in fact, because that echoes what I also heard from Mr. Gottlieb as well. And I feel comfortable telling my listeners that the White House was truly open to hearing what we have to say. Fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it would indicate to me. You know, now that doesn't guarantee anything, obviously.
Right,
but
sure. Well, it is safe to say that it's a hell of a lot more than we would have gotten from the previous administration.
Sure.
In a situation like this. And Barack Obama had his share of mass shootings occur under his watch. Don't forget that fact, even though the media doesn't want to remind you of that. Okay, so as Gottlieb said he was happy on two counts. One, they reached out, which shows that, you know, their interest and concern for our positions, and their questions were really good. Well, how do we address this and not do this? How do we really solve these kinds of problems? What can the gun rights community support, and what can't it support? They were definitely respecting our input. I think that's huge. Do you want to put an exclamation point on that before we move on to something else?
I mean, you know, that's certainly something different than how these things have gone in the past, I would say. You know, now he apparently is also, the president has had conversations with Wayne LaPierre as well,
right,
at the NRA. So, you know, it seems like they're not just going to the NRA. They are going to a broader group of gun rights supporters to get input. And that's, at the very least, I think should be heartening for gun rights supporters.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Okay, for just the fact that Trump insinuated he was open to expanded background checks, the likes of which we don't know what they're talking about there. We just know the term. We know what the left means by that. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he said he was open for it, and there appeared to be an appetite for that, as a journalist, when you heard him say that, what went through your mind as far as if you were asking him those questions, what were you thinking?
Well, I think the main thing for me, well, I mean, there's several points, but when you're talking about the actual policy itself, I think the question for anyone considering, you know, a universal background check bill as a response to these three shootings, you know, the first question is, why would that have been a good solution? Because all three of these guys passed background checks. They all were subject to background checks and passed them. Now, you could look at their backgrounds and say there were red flags and somebody should have done something under current law to
you know, have them committed or have them arrested for, you know, different, you know, one of them was making hit lists and things like that. So, you know, their backgrounds, you can talk about missed opportunities or red flags there, but as far as what actually happened, they all passed background checks. So universal background check bill would not have prevented any of these shootings. I mean, that's just a fact. So why that would be a good solution would be my first question. And then, you know, beyond that, I think the politics of it don't make a lot of sense because universal background checks, you know, the last time we went through this in the Senate, you know, the Democrats had control and they still weren't able to mm-hmm. get anywhere near 60 votes. And so when you look at the numbers now, the only way I could see something like that passing is if the president himself decided he was going to, you know, undergo a very strong and drawn out campaign
right.
to support the bill and get Republicans over, because you'd need 14 Republican votes.
Yeah,
to make that happen.
You're going to need that to make it happen. Stephen, I'm going to tell you now that you can go catch your flight, brother, because we're running out of time, and thank you so much. I the takeaway, though, is that we don't know anything concrete yet, correct? That's fair to say, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll leave it at that. Stephen Gutowski from the Washington Free Beacon's got a flight to catch. Thanks for coming down and participating with Georgia Carry. It's a great group. Armed American Radio, you know the routine. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you on the Daily Defense.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.